This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart, and we're joined on the phone right now by ESPN's Adam Schefter, who's brought to you by Liberty Bank and by Coleman. It's electric. Adam Schefter, how are we doing today, sir?
Christian, Andy, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just a normal day here in Boston, a big trade for the Red Sox, and of course this Bill Belichick news, which has everybody really wondering what it's going to take to get Bill down there to UNC. What's the latest on this right now? We saw some reporting from some of your colleagues over at ESPN. It sounds like they're at a bit of a stalemate right now.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't know that it's a stalemate so much as it's a process, and it's a complicated, layered process that they have to get through. I know everybody's saying he's agreed to become the coach, and he may wind up being the coach there. But I'm just telling you right now that there are a whole host of looming issues out there, including North Carolina's name, image, likeness resources, his salary, resources for the staff, reporting structure, flow chart, who he would report to. Like, before this, I know everybody's in a rush to say he's taking the job, and he very well might. He very well might. But there are a lot of things that they have to get through. And there are things on the college side that it's not my normal beat, but the more calls I've made and the more people I've spoken to, they've got to get approval from the Board of Trustees to proceed, to move ahead with Bill. And once the board signs off, then they have to go ahead with Bill and meet all the questions and desires he has. Like, it's a whole process. Is it underway? Absolutely. Is there mutual interest? Yes. Is it trending towards a deal? I think it is. Does that mean it's going to get done? No, not yet.
Just to rewind for a minute, Bill's interest in going to college and even UNC, does that stem from an idea that maybe there wasn't going to be a lot of NFL interest this offseason? Are those tied in? I mean, he only had the one opportunity, I guess, last year. Is that why he's looking at a wider range of opportunities?
Well, listen, we go back to last year. There was the opportunity with Atlanta that did not materialize. There were conversations with Washington at one point. Washington decided to go with Dan Quinn. So there were two potential opportunities that for various reasons did not materialize. Bill, at his core, is a coach, and he wants to coach. And if there were an opportunity that came along, even at the college level, then I think he absolutely would be open to it. And enthusiastic about doing it. And he would bring his ideas and his thoughts to the college game. But, listen, the NFL passed on him last offseason. He very well might get a job this offseason. I think he should. But I don't know what owners are thinking and how they're going to act. And with that being the case, if there was something that he was interested in, which this is one of those opportunities, then it's up to him to explore it and see if it can be put together the way he wants it to be put together. So, you say that we don't know what the NFL owners are going to do this offseason. Well, we know what they did last offseason. And my guess is that I don't know how much confidence he has in them doing the right thing this offseason. They might not. We don't know. And he wants to coach. So if there's a coaching opportunity that makes sense, why not explore it, which is what he's doing right now.
What would you consider to be the biggest roadblock between getting this job? You listed a bunch of things, the likeness, the name, the money, the succession plan with his son, Steven, like all of that. If you had to guess, what would you say is probably the biggest thing?
I don't know.
Don't know.
I think the biggest thing is all the things. It all has to be a lot for him to go do this and to make it work. And until it's all aligned to his satisfaction, set up the way that he would want, with him answering to who he wants, with him having the money, and I don't mean salary, you know, name, image, likeness, to be able to pay out to players, to be able to make that school competitive, to everything. Is like, listen, I don't know this, but I'm sure he's spoken to Nick Saban about what it takes to run a successful college program at some point in time. There has to be some idea. Bill's not going to go into something blindly. He is very detailed, very thorough, very on top of things. So he's going to make sure that he takes every precaution to make sure everything that needs to be successful is in place, right? Well, that's the case. He's not going to do it.
So you bring up Nick Saban, and we do radio, so we throw a lot of crap out there over the course of 4 hours. There was a report that Bill has a name in mind to be his general manager at UNC, and it would require a buyout from somewhere else. Is there any chance that that general manager could be one Nick Saban?
I just first I've heard of that. I mean, you know, anything's possible, I guess. But why would Nick Saban want to go there? Anyway, I don't know that there may be something to that. I'm getting texts as we speak about all this stuff.
From Nick?
But I don't know anything about that.
It's from Nick Saban saying, "Yeah, I'm actually going to go do it." I'm listening to your hit on WEEI right now, Adam, and I actually am going to go do that. Let's switch gears from one coach to another. There's reporting that's been going on this week in Boston about Jerod Mayo in these final 4 weeks here in New England. I know this isn't exactly pressing for the NFL or anything like that, but here in New England, we are curious about the future of Jerod Mayo and his standing with the Crabs. Is there a chance that he's coaching for his job here in this last month?
I don't see that right now. I think that. Well, let me say it this way. I think they intend to bring him back. I think that's their plan. Could the final month of the season deteriorate to a point where that gets called into question? In this league, anything's always possible. Do I think that they're thinking like that today, December 11th? No. I think that they think that they have their coach, and they want to give him a chance to grow and build around him, and he'll be the guy. Again, every year there's something that changes, and somebody gets put on blast that we weren't expecting, and maybe that'll be Jerod Mayo, but I'm not expecting that to be the case right now.
Adam, what is Josh McDaniels' reputation in the NFL right now, and do you think he will be in the mix for offensive coordinator's job? Do you think he'll be back in the league this year after taking a year off? Where does his status stand with the NFL?
Well, again, I think offensive coordinators are hard to find, and even if he did not make it as a head coach, Josh McDaniels still would be one of the top offensive coordinators, and I'm sure there will be people that are interested. The question is whether Josh would be interested. I think the Raiders still own 3 more years of money. He has children in school. Do you want to go uproot your family? These are things that he'll have to decide in time, but to me, there's always going to be a job for Josh McDaniels if he wants it. The question would be, you know, what is that job, and does it interest him enough to do that when basically it would be for free anyway? Like, you know, he could do that, but it's not like he's going to be – I don't think he'll be making money. I don't know if there's offset or not. I haven't checked that. But whatever the Raiders own, would he make the money? I have to check that. But neither here nor there. The money is really secondary. You know, does he want to do that? I guess it would depend on what the opportunity and situation was.
Adam, before we let you go, the Buffalo Bills added 10 non-controlling minority owners to the team's ownership group in a vote, I believe, that happened today. And some of them are Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady, some of my favorite basketball players from my youth. Considering the type of contracts that are getting tossed around these days, you're seeing guys who played in the 90s and early 2000s becoming minority owners now. Is this a trend you think is going to continue and maybe even grow?
Well, I think what you saw today is it was the Bills, the Dolphins, the Eagles all like sold a portion of their team or limited interest in their team to private equity groups, investors. Like Jeffrey Lurie sold, I think, 8% of the Eagles. He's still the controlling owner. Nothing changes with him except he gets a check now for somewhere around $650 million. So someone's going to hand you a check and your job and ownership titles don't change at all. Why would you not do that? But that's part of the new league rules that they introduced that allow private equity to now invest in football ownership. So I think you're going to see more and more of this. It's like owners taking some money off the table because the franchises are so valuable.
Coming down the home stretch here of the season, I think earlier this year when you were on with us, you estimated maybe 9 or 10 openings for head coaching jobs.
I guess it's 7 to 9, and I'll stick to 7 to 9.
So you're still in that range? So you still think we'll have a boatload of sort of that Black Monday?
7 to 9. Well, we already have 3. We already have 3. So 7 would be my low number. And I would guess it's going to be right around 7 if I had to guess. 9 would be the high number if there are a couple of surprises we're not expecting. But if I had to give an over-under for the year, I would say 7 is the over-under.
That is the voice of Adam Schefter, ESPN Insider. Adam, thanks so much for the time. A big news day today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Have a great week. We'll talk next Wednesday.
All right. Right back at you there. Adam Schefter, ESPN, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Quick break. When we return, we'll be joined by Celtics broadcaster Brian Scalabrine. That's next.